Today is the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, all we who are baptized in Christ Jesus are baptized in his death, for we are buried together with him by baptism unto death, that as Christ is risen from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also may walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, to the end that we may serve sin no longer, for he that is dead is justified from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live also together with Christ, knowing that Christ, rising again from the dead, dieth now no more, death shall no more have dominion over him. For in that he died to sin, he died once, but in that he liveth unto God. So do you also reckon that you are dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gospel for the Mass today is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 8. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time when there was a great multitude with Jesus, and they had nothing to eat, calling his disciples together, he saith to them, I have compassion on the multitude, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I shall send them away fasting to their homes, they will faint on the way, for some of them came from afar off. And his disciples answered him, From whence can any one fill them here with bread in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? Who said, 7. And he commanded the crowd to sit down on the ground. And taking the 7 loaves, giving thanks, he broke and gave to his disciples and to set before them. And they set them before the people. And they had a few little fishes, and he blessed them and commanded them to be set before them. And they did eat and were filled, and they took up that which was left of the fragments, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Blessed are today's holy, the words of today's holy gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today we, of course, see in the gospel one of the great miracles of our Lord. He satisfies our needs. He takes care of us. We can see that he looks out for us, and he wants us to use the gifts he has given us as a means for our sanctification. However, of course, many people do not. And of course, as mentioned in the epistle, that the body of sin was destroyed by Christ, but we have to try to cooperate with those graces that he's provided. It's interesting to think of that in light of the recent events and also the fact of what people go around celebrating these days, especially this particular weekend. We talk about this idea of patriotism, and we talk about the great country that we are part of. It is important for us to understand what patriotism is. God has been good to us, yes, provided for us many things that we need. But it's also important to understand what it is, what patriotism is, what we need to think about here in this country, and also to what we need to do in light of what we see, and what our role needs to be in all of this. Patriotism actually is a virtue. It's a virtue that's linked to justice. And we have an obligation to practice this virtue of patriotism. It is such that we, as those who have been born and raised in this country, have this affinity towards the country in which gave us birth, which provided for our needs, provides for our temporal needs, which provides for all the things that we have. And for that, we owe a certain amount to our country for that. It's not because of the form of government. It's not because of those who are in office. It's not because of any of those other reasons that we have patriotism. Even in the worst of countries, people can be patriotic because they have this, they pay a debt of gratitude to the country which gave them everything that they have. And so it's important for us to understand that, to have a respect for that country, to have understanding of that. We have perhaps been given too much. It's been a country which has been such that it has a certain affluence, so much so that it feels like it somehow can distance itself from God. It doesn't need God. And that's a problem. It's a problem. I mean, for every breath of air you take, for everything that you do, you require, God is required. You depend upon God. The idea of independence is something that's foreign to the mind of God. We're creatures. We're made by Him, created by Him, and depend upon Him for our existence. Just as we depend upon the country for providing us for many of the material needs that we have, we depend on God for everything. Everything without exception. Everything we have comes from Him. And it could be taken away from us at a moment's notice. And so we are dependent creatures. We are dependent upon Him. We do need to have Him. But as I say, with the affluence that this country has experienced, many people think that they can somehow do things without God. And so they have distanced themselves from Him. It likes to revel in the fact that it's a country based on rights, on human rights. And it fails to understand that human rights are only derived. The only one who has absolute rights is God. And it's to God, as we know, objectively speaking. And it's not something that we do simply because it makes us feel warm and fuzzy inside that we do all these things. God has rights. God has rights. We have obligations to God. And we have to fulfill those obligations to God. And if we look and we look around, I don't want to really just talk about specifics of what is going on in the government today. You know very well, it's been pretty much advertised. Touted amongst the media as to what's going on. But what needs to be done, we need to abstract from that a bit and try to find out what are the reasons, what are the root causes for this problem that we see that is being touted and pushed on individuals, pushed on society today. Very basically, the problems that we have today, as I was alluding to earlier, is the fact that people have distanced themselves from God. They've distanced themselves from God, and because they've distanced themselves from God, these problems that we see today are a result. They're a consequence of that. When they distance themselves from God, they claim they're independent. They claim that they can do whatever they want. No one's going to tell them what to do. No one's going to tell them what to be. No one's going to tell them how to act. This is the modern mentality. This is the modern mentality today, and of course, we suffer because of it. Our Lady at Fatima talked about the problems that we would have today, that God is offended by all of these things that are going on today. That these kinds of things go on today, and these things are abhorrent in the mind of God. They slap the face of God by the way in which they act. And this is what's going on. And of course, at some point in time, God will react. In fact, it's amazing to see that God has been so merciful in all of this, and you would think that perhaps he should act soon, or that he hasn't acted soon enough. But it just manifests the great mercy of God, the great love of God for the poor sinner. Because in all of this, he doesn't want the sinner to die in his sins, but he wants him to be converted. And so he gives time. He gives time. And so these things that we see today are a consequence of this false idea of liberty, a false idea of the idea of freedom. We, as creatures, have an obligation to serve God, to become a member of his church, the Catholic Church, which is the only church. We have obligations to follow his commandments. The one thing that maybe we ought to talk about, though, and it's nice that we think about things in the abstract so we can understand what the causes are, but then we have to come back to the concrete, the specific, to see what we need to do, to see how we need to behave, and what our attitude needs to be. Of course, we could just act in disgust. We could act pharisaical and say, well, I'm glad I'm not like the rest of them. We could, just try to wash our hands of the whole situation. But that doesn't do anything to help the problem. In fact, we somehow are, in many ways, part of the problem that we see in front of us. We are not such that we can totally divorce ourselves from the society in which we live. We are a part of that community. Fortunately, it's such that it affects us. Some people say, well, I don't, it doesn't bother me because it doesn't affect me. I can live my life the way I want. Just leave me alone. Well, it's not true. It's not true. St. Paul, in his epistles, speaks much of the idea of the mystical body of Christ, and that we are members of the mystical body of Christ. Any sin, by its very nature, is an offense against God. And as an offense against God, then it has such that it's an offense against the head of the mystical body of Christ. And if it offends the head of the mystical body of Christ, it also affects and offends the members as well. It does injury to the rest of the members of the mystical body. So one of the things that we need to do is we need to start to see how this affects us in the world in which we live. We live amongst people who are of this mentality, and it will affect things that go on in our communities, in our schools, in public life, in the workplace. All of these things will be affected by it. There will be effects, there are consequences to this. And we will live amongst that. And we will need to be Catholic in the face of it. The result of what, or the consequences of what happened, are due to a lot of effort on the part of those who are very clever to try to mold the minds of men in order to change their ideas and opinions from something which is truly based on what the reality of the situation is, based on the fact that God is in command, that he is the one who controls things, that we are dependent upon him, into an idea that where man is the one who rules, nobody's going to tell him what to do, he's independent, etc. There's been a whole propaganda that's been placed into the fact, even to the extreme where I can do whatever I want, and nobody's going to tell me what to do, and I'm going to have that freedom. That mentality is part of the mentality of most people around you. And that same mentality is such that it is meant to also infect you as well. And without knowing it, you become a part of that mentality. It's because of this people you live amongst. You are affected by them. Okay. You are affected by them. The ideas and the mentality is something that becomes part of you. It can become, to a certain extent, more or less, because we live around it all the time. Things that our grandparents or our great-grandparents would never have thought, we have almost accepted as being kind of just normal. And it's not. It's not. The things that we need to do is we need to understand things from the viewpoint of God. And we also need to pull ourselves away from the constant influx of these ideas in our daily life. The modern media has been very effective. It's very interesting if you look at the old catechism books. The old catechism books, when they talked about problems, for instance, with regard to commandments 6 and 9, they would ask you certain questions because it was a way in which you were influenced by things like by movies, books, magazines. They were the means and bad companions. Those were the things, the influences that people had on you, and those were the things you needed to avoid in order to not fall prey to the corruption that's there. Well, you know, the old catechism books didn't talk about internet, television, social media, all the other kinds of things, but it's out there. And it's more pervasive, it affects us more and more all the time. The other thing is that we sometimes fall into, and it's something that we need to think about more seriously, and I think it's a problem for us, is that we look at something and say, well, it's not forbidden. It's something that you can't forbid me to do it because there's nothing there that's absolutely wrong that you can put your finger on. Okay. It's not forbidden. It's a negative way of looking at it. It's, you're trying to push the envelope as far as you possibly can. If it's not forbidden, then I can do it. That's not exactly the wise way to look at it, because a lot of things all of a sudden come into the picture that you're watching and taking in and soaking up that are part of the problem. The way I think you should be looking at it is, what is the reason that I am doing this? What is the reason that I am pursuing this? What great good is it that I will achieve by doing this, by watching this, by hearing this, by listening to this, by involving myself in this? What great good am I going to accomplish by doing it? I think if you ask, what is it in it that is such great, so valuable that I'm watching it, that I'm listening to it, that I'm involving myself in it, I think if you ask that question, you will watch a lot less television, you will have a lot less, be sitting a lot less time on the computer, you'll be listening to music a lot less than you used to, you will be doing things a lot less that you otherwise would have done. Because instead of looking at it from the negative sense, what is it that I'm doing that I can do as much as I can because it's forbidden, I'm doing up to the point where it's forbidden, I'm only doing what I can do because I want to do it because I know it's going to be good for me. It's a different way of looking at it, and it's important for us to look at things that way. We have a limited amount of time here on this earth. We have a limited amount of things that we can do, and we need to use them for our sanctification. By so doing, we will be such that we are not so infected by all of the things of the world. You know, for instance, when the modern media, when it's there, it says things like, for instance, I hear stories like, well, it doesn't have violence, it doesn't have impurity, it doesn't have bad language, therefore I can watch it. No. What's the underlying themes? What's the underlying message? What's going on with this? Oftentimes it escapes people because they don't even think about it. Oftentimes, in fact, most of the time, there's a worldliness that's inculcated in what you are watching. It doesn't aspire to think of higher things, certainly. And because of it, it brings you down into the whole level of the world in which we live. Instead of being in this world, but not of this world, we become a part of it. We become a part of it because we involve ourselves in it in this way, voluntarily. Voluntarily. We put ourselves in that situation. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous. You know, it's a slight slope going down and it takes us with it. Don't realize it. You are totally unaware of the dangers but it's there. How did we get where we are today? It happened slowly, but it was continual. And so we need to ask ourselves why we're doing the things that we are doing. What are we doing? Are we spending our time well? How well are we spending our time? Are we really doing what we need to do in order to sanctify our souls? That's important. It's essential. It's why we're here. It's why God made us. It goes back to the first question, the first or second question in catechism. Why did God make you? To know, love, and serve him in this life and be happy with him in the next. It's not for self-satisfaction. It's not for our own gratification. It's not for our own pleasure that we're here in this world. It's to please God, to do his will. The other thing that we need to be thinking about, especially as we see all of these things going on around us, we can't divorce ourselves from the world in which we live. We are in the world, as our Lord even said. We can't be of the world. We have to do something which Our Lady of Fatima was talking about very much also. We have to make reparation. We have to do penance. If others are going to revel in their sins, we have to do reparation for that sin. We have to do penance for that sin. I don't think they're going to do penance for that sin. Reparation is required. It's essential for us to do reparation for those sins. We talk about First Friday, First Saturday being times of reparation, making reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We have to make reparation for those sins. Each and every sin has to be expiated for. It just can't go unanswered. If an offense is committed against God, there has to be reparation for that. And we are part of the members of the mystical body of Christ. And if there's an attack made, then we have to make a reparation for it. In a physical body, when there's a problem, say for instance, someone's is such that they have a problem in that maybe they had to have an amputation of their arm. Their arm had to be amputated for some reason. Maybe it was gangrene or something. I don't know. Well, then because of it, the rest of the body has to make compensation for the fact that there's a missing arm, a missing appendage. It's required. And so likewise, when there's a problem, a defect in the mystical body of Christ, a problem there, well then a compensation has to be made. It's called reparation for sin. And so we have to realize what we're in this world for, what it was all about, what's going on and what we have to do. We can't, as our Lord says, we can't just curse the darkness. We have to light a light. We have to do what we need to do as Catholics. We have to offer reparation. We have to see what we need to do in a positive way in order to save our own souls and to help those around us. We have to do what's necessary. We can't do that. And that's part of what we do in this country in which we live. There are certain problems. Yes, there are certain evils. You know, we can't act high and mighty and think that we're somehow above them. No, we aren't. It will try to take us under also. It will try to take us down with it. The enemy works that way. The enemy works to destroy. And he will take one by one and work to overcome the entire society if he possibly can. And so on this day, let us try to make the resolution to pray for our country, to offer reparation for the sins of men, to do what we can do to possibly to help, to use those things that we do have only insofar as they help our soul get to heaven, in order that we might be such that we sanctify our souls in our daily life and work to please God and help those in our communities reach God also. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.